For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Sports People Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as pretty much always, not recently, but almost always, by my good buddy and fellow co-host here, Mr. Trey Hill. Trey, it's been a minute, man, but Bulls get a much-needed victory tonight. You got to be feeling good, man.
Yeah, I tweeted out before the game that this was the first game I was really excited. I'd really gotten up for in the last couple weeks, and the Bulls came through. DeMar came through early with making a lot of just ridiculously contested jumpers to keep the Bulls, you know, to keep it close. The Bulls were up six after one, and then they just kind of continued to put it on in the second half. So great win for the Bulls. Excited to be back after missing the last couple shows. I'm on the East Coast. Those West Coast games, man, they're just real late for me.
Yeah, it's tough when you can't be recording at 1 a.m. It's a little rough, but it's all good, man. I'm excited to be breaking down this one for you. Obviously, a Bulls win, which is a much, much needed win against a Raptors squad that's actually right behind us in the standings. So really, really needed this one tonight. I feel like the Bulls came out and were putting forth an effort like they were a team that had their back against the ropes. I got to see, obviously, I had to work tonight. As most of you know, Mondays and Wednesdays are rough for me, but I got to watch maybe about half the game. And they looked like, you know, there was urgency was there from the jump, right? Is that the same sense you got?
Yeah, that's definitely the sense I got. The Raptors, early on, they were just competing with the Bulls. And the Bulls, like I said, they did win the first quarter. But the Raptors were super competitive. And you could tell that as the game went on, their gas tank kind of went on empty. And the Bulls did a great job of keeping the pressure up, because the Raptors, they don't have, you know, one giant player, but all of their players are tall with length, and that kind of bothered the Bulls. But the Bulls were able to be active and just kind of keep them running and to kind of wear them down.
Yeah, second half of back-to-back for the Raptors. So the Bulls are really favored in this one. It's a home game for the Bulls, one of our last home games. We don't have many of them left. So Bulls really, they were, I think, a four-point favorite is what they opened at with Vegas. And they ended up being like a 3.5-point favorite as people just jumped on the other side of that, which, haha, all you suckers losing that bet. No, the Bulls, you know, they really need to win this one. They were favored to win this one. It's one you should win, and glad that they were able to pull it out. Speaking of DeMar DeRozan, though, Trey, and what perplexed me tonight, we've been seeing the team, you know, teams constantly throwing a second defender at DeMar as soon as he starts to make his move. The Raptors played him straight up tonight. And what are the results of that? 11 of 14 from the field, 79%, 26 points. Were they just like willing to let DeMar kill them? I don't really understand the reasoning behind that.
I think so. They were Nurse. He's adaptable in terms of he likes to do lots of different things, but I haven't seen the Raptors double very many players. So I think that's something he tends to avoid. And you mentioned that he went 11 of 14. Of those three misses, all three of them were three-point attempts. So he was perfect inside the arc tonight, which was fantastic. He did miss two free throws, which was kind of the Achilles heel of the Bulls tonight in general. They missed 10 free throws tonight, going 14 of 24. But it didn't matter in the end. They were able to pull out a comfortable victory. But, yeah, DeMar was able to get his tonight, which was nice to see, because he has kind of struggled with that double team the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of them doubling the third, but for the most part, they were just playing him straight up with Siakam. Thaddeus Young got some turns on him. I'm sure someone else guarded him also, but obviously, yeah, that's not the results you want. So.
And you saw what happened in the third. Zach just took over. I know there was that stretch where I think the Bulls were down a couple points. They went on a 9-0 run there late in the third quarter, and Zach had 7 of the 9 points, I think it was, and assisted on the other ones. He just took over again in the third. That continues to be like his strong quarter. And it's just nice to see both of them had 26 points tonight. Very efficient shooting. Both were, you know, 500. Zach shot 9 of 18, 3 of 6 from 3 also. So quality night from the two stars.
Yeah, and couldn't have come at a better time. Want to take a quick moment here, guys, listeners. Please take a moment to go follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK. Go follow it now. I'm going to get excited again because it's a Bulls win, which we haven't had in a while. We haven't had in like a week now. I think our last win was at least a week ago at this point. So good to get one here. So obviously, first game back for Patrick Williams. I think one thing, you know, first of all, I loved the energy that the UC crowd was giving Patrick Williams. I didn't expect that really because I think fans are kind of split on Patrick Williams. Not that anyone necessarily dislikes him, but some people are definitely higher on him and his, you know, potential, a la you and I are, as opposed to, you know, some people aren't necessarily that high on him. So I was a little surprised to see them just like show out and just go nuts every time he touched the ball and when he came on the floor. But I thought it was a great, great first game back for him. Let's see, he played how many minutes here? I'm sure not many. 19 minutes. He didn't really need to come. I mean, this game was over in the fourth, basically. I think he was on a 25-minute cap is what Donovan said before the game started. So didn't even get close to that. But when he was in, we saw that defense. We saw him able to recover on guys that were driving to the rim. We saw some rim protection from him. I think one thing, though, is Trey, that people really discount with Patrick Williams and that people don't really mention is his ability to catch the ball in traffic and go up and score, which he did a few times tonight, something the Bulls have missed, right?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He did, and he had a couple moves where he, you know, one dribble and was just right there to score. So that he was very willing to shoot from the corner. He still has that quick release, which I was happy to see. But what I really liked to see from him was when he was on defense, that help defense, whenever a guy would drive, mm-hmm. he did a great job of stepping off his man just a little bit to dig down in and to kind of cut that drive off enough to where I know specifically that one time Vooch had that great recovery block. Mm-hmm. He only was able to get that block on Van Vliet because Patrick Williams stepped in and dug at the ball and gave Vucevic that second to recover so he could get that block. And being able to give Vucevic that extra second to recover, that's what he needs to be a successful defender. We've seen him be a poor defender these last few weeks because he hasn't had plus defenders in front of him to give him a chance to recover. If Patrick Williams can continue to do that, I think that can be huge for this team going forward.
Yeah, and defense in general was just a lot better. The defensive intensity in that first quarter. Because, you know, the Raptors run a back-to-back. So, you know, you are favored there, and they were eventually going to run out of gas probably. But in that first quarter, there's really no excuses for the Raptors. And I thought the Bulls played really great defense, Trey. And I think not only was it Patrick Williams being in there for, you know, 19 minutes or so, which that didn't even happen in the first quarter much. Well, he checked in with 5 minutes left in the first quarter. But not even that, but Caruso starting for Ayo Dosunmu. I love this move. We were talking about this move, like, I don't know, maybe three or four shows ago, right? Where we thought maybe Ayo would be better coming off the bench. I know that was your baby. I think you were the one that was saying, you know, maybe, but I don't think Caruso was healthy at that point, but you were saying maybe Ayo would be better served coming off the bench. And I think we have gotten a little bit of a, not necessarily the best of Ayo in the last couple of weeks, for whatever reason. So I like this move by Billy. I thought, again, defensively, this really helped shore us up with Caruso on the floor, you know, playing that point of attack defense against a starting level point guard in Van Vliet. So I love what I saw out of there defensively.
I did too. I thought Caruso really kind of set the tone coming in the starting lineup. And that was my move, but it was more kind of for the offensive mindset of Ayo with his playmaking ability. I thought he'd do well coming off the bench with Kobe. Those two kind of a nice pairing as a backcourt. So I thought it worked really well in terms of starting out, even if they were a little undersized. I think Patrick Williams is going to be back in that starting lineup sooner rather than later. But to me, I kind of wonder if maybe if Javonte Green is the guy who goes to the bench, and maybe you still keep Caruso in that starting lineup, because that not having Lonzo Ball and it, with it looking like he's not going to be back anytime soon, not having that defensive tone setter, I think that's something the Bulls really need out there, especially having Vucevic as the defensive anchor.
So I didn't see a bit of a bummer news here. Before I do that, though, let's go ahead and pause here for a second, guys, and tell you guys about a new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at ThriveFantasy.com. You can actually use the link on my Twitter there. It's at BSPPKeith to go ahead and sign up. And I would really appreciate that, because it would be awesome of you, because then they would know I sent you their way. So we were talking about, you know, Caruso in that starting lineup. I like that. A little bit of a downer, though, is that we did get some Lonzo Ball news. I caught it on Twitter, like right as I was going out the door to work, so I didn't see the whole thing. I think he said that Lonzo is going to be sidelined for now, not doing anything for like the next 10 days. Is that correct?
Yes, no running for the next 10 days.
So that, and I know that Billy Donovan has been really adamant about saying there's been no setbacks, but I don't know how you qualify that anything other than a setback, Trey, which is really a bummer, because he was pretty much on track to maybe make it back for like the last half a dozen games. I don't think he gets back in the regular season now. What about you?
I don't think so either. I think more than likely we're looking at him coming back next year, being the pessimist in me. But if that's the case, that's unfortunate. But getting Patrick Williams back, you know, in this kind of shape, getting Caruso back, if he's the only player we have missing, while I think he's one of the most important players for the Bulls, considering the injury luck that this team has had, I only missing one guy feels like a blessing, even if it is a player as important as Lonzo.
So Casey Johnson on Twitter here, I'm reading here. Yeah, Lonzo Ball will cease running for 10 days and focus on strengthening the knee. And that's per Billy Donovan. So just a big bummer, man. I think Lonzo is just such a key piece, even more so than Patrick Williams or Alex Caruso. So that's really not doesn't make me happy. But at the same time, I think having the guys that we have healthy now, Trey, is enough for us to definitely hang on to one of the top 6 seeds here in the Eastern Conference. I think that's really got to be the goal now. And, you know, we're looking at a first-round playoff matchup with, I mean, question mark, because the Sixers haven't been played, particularly well recently. They did beat the Heat tonight, which is impressive because they, you know.
They were without Harden and Embiid as well.
Without Harden and Embiid, right.
Yeah. Maxey was able to just go off on them. I was in a Discord chat earlier, and I happened to ask what happened. The Heat came in a little entitled, it sounded like, and the 76ers just absolutely punched them in the mouth.
The Heat culture didn't quite work out for them, I guess. So, you know, it is what it is. Everyone's allowed to drop a game here and there. The Heat have been incredible this season, so you can't take too much away from them. But we could be playing the Sixers. We could be playing the Bucks. We could be playing the Celtics. I mean, at this point, it's really up in the air because there's so much shuffling around. There's so few games in between the top 5-6 teams that it's just really incredible right now. But it's a really interesting race, Trey. Bulls need to absolutely maintain, though. I would love for them to end up fifth, fourth seed. Definitely possible. I don't know, though. They could end up the sixth seed at this point. So the schedule still isn't very kind to us. So I don't know. What are you feeling, man?
It's not. I think we're looking at the 5 or 6 seed, with the 7th seed being, you know, the worst case scenario, in my opinion, if we drop down that far. To me, I think the 5 seed is the goal. You're looking at a series likely with Boston. I've been saying it, for weeks now, that's going to be the matchup, the 4-5 Boston and Chicago. I think that's where it's trending, and that's just kind of where I see things going.
I did a little bit of an around the NBA segment to start the last pod. Was hoping to do that again, but I didn't. But I do have it up here, so I might as well tell you guys. The Brooklyn Nets won So that's a bummer. They beat the Utah Jazz, which is a nice win for them. As I told you, the Sixers beat the Miami Heat. The Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the LA Lakers. I actually kind of thought that was going to happen, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's a good loss for us because the Cavs are right behind us there in the standings. I don't think anything else of note happened.
The Celtics beat the Thunder.
So if we're looking at the updated standings here, as I pop those open, most of the games are done, so these should be updated now. Bulls are 4.5 games behind the Miami Heat for first. So, I mean, you know, if for whatever reason they get hot here, oh my gosh, look at these standings. So the Sixers, Bucks, and Celtics are all tied at 2.5 games behind the Heat. That is a... Yeah, we were planning to do a little bit of a preview show, Trey. That's like a nightmare, though. But, hey, we've got a lot of time left still. Got a couple of weeks. I know that I've already talked to the Sports Ethos Celtics guys, and they are interested in coming on to talk to us about a potential Bulls-Celtics first-round series. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Do tune in for that one whenever that happens here in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, this could shake out anyway. I mean, it's anyone's race, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely anyone's race, and I'm excited for these next few weeks. The play-in tournament has made it that much more interesting these last few weeks, watching teams jockey for position. I think it's been a great addition to the league, and I just could not be happier with how it's turned out. Even if the Bulls fall down into that, it'll be disappointing, but I'll still be excited about the play-in tournament as a whole. And if the Bulls drop that far, it's their own fault getting stuck in the play-in.
So let me say that if I were to go back, and I know we recorded a pod about, you know, which ranking basically the teams we'd want to face versus the teams we wouldn't want to face. And if I were to go back, I don't even remember what I said at that point. But I think my preferred first round matchup now is the Raptors, because I do see that they have a lot of the same deficiencies we do, like, you know, a lack of a true big in the middle. We saw Tristan Thompson with a few finishes right in the middle of the paint. So I think, if I were to go back and re-record that pod, I think I would put the Raptors as, you know, my preferred opponent in the first round, if that's possible. Is that I don't remember. I think you might have actually had them there. Is that correct?
Probably. I think I did. But I don't know that that's something that's feasible at the moment.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's not worth spending a lot of time talking about, because it's probably not going to happen. But hey, the Bulls could, like I said, go on a heater here. They've got Patrick Williams back now. Maybe he's more of a plus than we even thought. You know, you and I are both big Patrick Williams fans. Maybe he's the one that moves the needle for them, and they end up winning the rest of these games. If they win out, I mean, there's a good chance at first. I don't think that's going to happen. There's a very low chance that's going to happen. But if that did happen, it'd look good. You got the Bucks tomorrow, obviously, which is going to be a real tough one. That's a back end of a back-to-back. Pelicans, Cavaliers, Knicks, Wizards. So 4 out of 5 of those teams, Trey, they don't scare me. The Bucks, of course, I don't know how motivated they are to play the Bulls, but this is the second half of a back-to-back, and the Bucks are just a really good team. So I'm already chalking that up as an L, man. What about you?
I am as well. Is Giannis going to be playing? I think he missed their last game. So if the Bulls could maybe get some injury luck on that end, and if Giannis is out, maybe they could be able to pull it out. But I think that game's going to be tough. And the at New Orleans game, the Pelicans have been playing really well since McCollum got in there. And they play that two big lineup with Jonas and Jackson Hayes. And I know we have Patrick Williams back, and hopefully he can help with that. But the Bulls have kind of struggled when going against teams with that kind of size, just because they don't have the size to compete on the boards.
I'm trying to look up this Giannis news as you're talking there. That's a good point. I'm still not scared of him personally, but it is a good point. So it says Giannis is probable for Tuesday's game. So it looks like he probably will play. I would say there's a like 85-90% chance he's going to play. So, you know, that's a bummer. But like I said, I think if he does play, it's something where we definitely chalk that up as we take an L. But speaking of Giannis, did you see this recently? And I know this is a Bulls pod, but I won't spend too much time on it. But did you see this recently in The Athletic, where he talked about his injury last year during the finals and how if he hyperextended his knee again, he basically would have ended his career?
I did see that, and that's kind of wild. And yeah. I guess that's what you do for a championship. But, man, that's pretty risky.
That is – I mean, that takes some cojones. And I think, you know, I got a lot of respect for Giannis, both for staying in Milwaukee and for playing like that through an injury. I mean, there's nothing to dislike about Giannis. You got to like the guy. So,
He should be the face of the league.
But I still want the Bulls to beat them. Like, don't get me wrong, Bulls fans. I still want the Bulls to win. We haven't done it in a while, so I'm gonna go ahead and plug this real quick, Trey. It's not the season of giving. What am I talking about? Stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball. Yep, we are Sports Ethos, but we used to be Hoopball, so that's what it is. To get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription, it's super easy. Turning it on just takes one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass, too. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball. Grab those 3 bonus months right now. So here's a question I had as I was watching this game, though, half watching it, obviously, because I had to do work, which is unfortunate. But do you agree with this statement, Trey, that Vooch needs to be scoring in order to be like maximized on the court for the Bulls?
I think so, because when he's scoring, he's more aggressive. And when he's more aggressive, that just brings everything else out. Because when he's just looking to strictly pass, he's a great passer, and he can make those connected passes that we like so much. But defenses can kind of – they know they can kind of lax off a little bit because he's not looking to score the ball. So I do think that's when he's most effective. But I think you can say that about a lot of players. Io also in particular, he was super aggressive tonight, having like I think 6 shots in the first half. And both for Vooch and Io, I think that kind of goes hand in hand. When you're aggressive, when you're taking shots, everything else is going to come going to come along with it.
I'm still not convinced, though, that the fit is great, Trey. I know I've talked about this several times now. I just don't know. I'm still very up in the air about the fit with Vooch, because the places that he's getting the ball, there were a few times tonight where the Bulls got him the ball in places where he could go score. I know there was a brilliant pass from Caruso on the wing. He was in the corner, passed it down to him. And he had like one power dribble straight to the rim. And I love that. I want to see way more of that. But, he's kind of reduced at times to just kind of setting screens at the top and then maybe just fading or trying to, crash the boards after. And I just don't think that they're utilizing him in the right way. I don't know if that's something where they need to be more inventive about getting him, the ball in motion towards the rim, which I think he's really excels at, especially when he's in the center of the paint. 7 of 17 tonight. He did get 17 shots, the second most on the team. Zach LaVine was the only one with more, 18 shots. So he was getting his shots. He had 19 points, 13 rebounds. I thought he played a decent game. Wasn't the best Vooch game I've ever seen. But, I just know that we need to talk about Vooch a lot in this pod, because fans are divided on Vooch, man. And I'm one of them. I just don't know long-term if he's the answer.
Well, you mentioned that sometimes he gets stuck just setting screens at the top and getting stranded out there. One of the guests that we had on, Mark Kay with All Chicago, wrote a piece called Nick with the headline, Vucevic Needs to Keep Shooting. And part of that is he's going to be, the guy who stretches the floor for the team when he sets those screens. That's part of what adds to his value as that stretch big, but to have that value, you have to shoot the ball. And we saw him knock down 2 tonight after missing, like, I think 10 straight. So if he could get that back on track and get back even up close to his career average, he would be, a much more dynamic scorer on the offensive end. And I think that would kind of alleviate the worries you have for him, because if he can be an effective scorer out there, then it doesn't look like he's just, stranded out there doing nothing.
That's a good point. Yeah. His touch from deep has been absolutely atrocious this season, which has been part of the reason I think that, he's getting more flack than he's probably due. I'm not a Vooch hater. I'm just not necessarily convinced he's the best fit. I think if you want to stretch the floor, there are better guys that can do that. That particular dimension of the game, but he does bring a lot of other offensive abilities to the game. I think he's an underrated defender. Also, I've said that, a couple times in this pod too. So not trying to hate on Vooch, just a thought I had.
He's an underrated defender, but he is a guy that you have to have the right defensive pieces around him to make him an effective defender. He's not someone that you can put into any defense and he's going to be an average to above average defender.
Well, our point, when the point of attack defense is bad, let me explain this real quick to our listeners. When it's bad and you've got a guy coming off the edge of the screen and basically turning the corner on the defender, you've got basically Vooch backpedaling, attempting to guard both the ball handler with the ball and the guy and the big that's most likely rolling behind him, going to dunk the basketball and get an alley-oop. And, you know, maybe an Evan Mobley or like a Miles Turner can guard that situation, and even they are going to struggle with it. But if you're asking Vooch or pretty much 90% of the NBA's centers to guard that situation, it's really difficult and it's not good. So, yeah, the Bulls defense in total has been bad, which has made Vooch look worse than he is. But, yeah, he does have limitations, and you're absolutely right about that, Trey. One other thought I had here before we go. DeRozan drawing fouls again on that mid-range jumper. I saw Thad Young played excellent defense, and then fouled DeRozan on the follow-through. And honestly, Trey, if I was on the other side of that and there was somebody else and my team was fouling that follow-through, I'd be pretty ticked off. I think it's got to be – I don't know if follow-through should be included as part of your shot, and it should be a foul. I think it's kind of BS. What do you think?
What about if it wasn't a shooting foul? Would that be better for you? Because it's not necessarily affecting the shot.
Right, it doesn't affect the shot at all. Yeah.
So maybe the Bulls get the ball out of bounds.
Yeah,
DeMar getting to shoot too.
Well, it'd be like a dead ball foul, so you'd still get a shot, I think, because even like if a shot's in
if they were in the bonus, you get the shots. But say it's the first foul of the quarter, maybe the Bulls just get the ball side out instead of DeMar getting two free throws out of the situation.
It's just unguardable, and it's kind of BS. And so, like, you know, I'm a Bulls fan, but I'm not going to be a Bulls stan. I'm going to try to be as objective as I can here. And I think it does need to be officiated a little better. That's actually an interesting solution there, Trey. I think I would be amenable to that. If, you know, it's like a dead ball foul, and if he's, you know, doesn't make the shot, then ball side out and Bulls get it or whatever. If he makes the shot,
we saw early on in the game, I mentioned DeMar making a couple really tough jumpers, but they were tough jumpers because the Raptors played excellent defense on him, and he was just barely able to get the shot off. So to me, I'd hate to not call the foul at all, because then that rewards, you know, kind of bad defense. Whereas we see guys, if you see them stay down, you know, stay disciplined and really contest the shot, they can have an effect. We've seen DeMar have some pretty rough shooting nights going against some of the better defenses in the league. But I do think there is something to not giving guys free throws on fouls that don't affect the shot.
Yeah. Something to think about, something to talk about. Just a little bit, showing us a little bit that we're not just Bulls homers. We are a little bit more objective on this show, I think, than most. So before we go, though, guys, I want to quickly remind you to all use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag, where I won some money tonight on DeRozan and Vooch. So there you go. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page to sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Man, great to get a win. We'll be back tomorrow to break down the Bulls Bucks. I'm your host, Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And please do follow the show, guys, at EthosBulls. We are looking forward to growing this thing and being with you, hopefully, through the season and beyond. But until next time, go Bulls!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.